Tonight, we'll be playing an interim national anthem until the committee makes its final arrangement. So we all stand for the national anthem. Okay, do we have any disclosures of pecuniary interest? None noted. At this time, we'll turn the mic over to John for an intro.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. This evening, I'd like to introduce Mr. Phil Roberts. Phil, if you could stand up. Phil is our new Director of Parks, Recreation, Culture, and Facilities. Phil started his career working in parks in the National Park System and for the conservation authorities in Ontario, including Essex Region Conservation Authority. This led to a career in aviation, where he managed Windsor Airport for nearly 25 years, 18 of which he was the Director of Operations. Phil's goal was to finish his career in the parks management system and was ultimately chosen to manage the City of Windsor's Parks Department, culminating in a brief tenure as the general manager of Roseland Golf and Curling Club, Golf Course and Curling Club. Phil has an extensive background in facilities and parks management, as well as has a keen interest in our region's historical heritage. He is an accomplished wildlife control specialist, ecologist, and avian researcher. He has a master's permit to ban birds specializing in raptors, passerines, and waterfowl, and is an active and founding member of the Holiday Beach Migration Observatory in Essex County, Ontario. Phil has a long-standing record of being involved in the environmental initiatives, habitat creation, and habitat restoration, as well as avian migration monitoring and population census research. He currently sits on the board of directors for Jack Miner Migratory Bird Foundation and the Essex County Field Naturalist Club. Phil has a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Windsor in Geology and Biology. Phil lives in Gesto with his wife Lori and daughters Meg and Tess. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you, John, and welcome, Phil. We'll move on to item four on the agenda.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Council met on March 7th, 2019 for a special in-camera meeting at 2:40 p.m. to discuss one item as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A was heard under Section 239(2)(f), and there is nothing further to report on this matter.
Okay, item five. Do I have a motion on that? Councillor Renault?
I move the recommendation of 5.1, 5.2, 5.3.
And seconded, Councillor Simone. Any questions? All in favor? And it carries. Give me a second on the computer. And we we move on to item six, and we'll do it 6.1 to start. Delegation.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, Council.
And I'll introduce, Tim Russo, Jeff Turner, Craig Haynes, and Brad Krunek. Go ahead, thank you.
Thank you. First, I want to thank you for this opportunity to present this presentation. My name is Tim Russo. I represent the King's Navy Yard Park for Special Service Force Project Amherstburg. Next slide, please. So, as it says, we're representing the King's Navy Yard for Special Service Force Project Amherstburg Committee. And as you can read up on the board, it's a project to specifically recognize the members of the First Special Service Force from the Windsor and Essex County area. This is a nonprofit project that is going to be coordinated through the Adopt-A-Vet, which is represented by Brad, and of course our committee. And what I'd like to do right now, if I could, I would like to just bring to the attention of the council Mr. Ralph Mayville, who's in right now, and I just want to recognize him. Ralph is one of the last living members of the First Special Service Force that served during World War II. Next slide, please. As you can see, the brief history of the First Special Service Force. To quote then at the time Speaker Boehner, then Speaker of the House, he described the Devil Brigade as the first of its kind, that these men helped save the free world, and that we, as citizens, are the offspring of that saving. Many of the today's Special Service Force, both in Canada and the United States, trace their beginnings to this unit. Next slide, please. So we have met for the proposed locations. We have met with members of the administration, and it was with them that they actually brought some really great ideas and helpful hints on logistics in locations. And we would like to work with town administration, town officials, to get a better suited area and location. We worked with Paula, Dave, and Annette, and we met with them just this last week. Next slide, please. As you can see, this is a concept drawing of plaque number one, which will commemorate the service of the First Special Service Force. Next slide, please. And this will be the concept drawing of the second plaque, which will be, they will be side by side on a stone mounted. Both plaques are 12 by 24. They will be mounted on a stone, a stone basically similar to what's already existing in the park. And again, we'll work with administration to find that proper location. And next slide, please. This is just a very brief scope of work on what we're actually going to do. I'll let you read through that at your lead. You know, you guys can look through that fairly quickly. It's pretty it explains itself, because basically what it is we're going to mechanically fasten the plaques to the stone, and we'll be working with a contractor that specializes in this type of work. There will be, and at the end, the number four point, and we will conduct a dedication ceremony. Of course, it would be great, we'll have town representation there, but the reception reception to be held will be held at a third location. It won't be at the actual King's Navy Yard Park, just so if you have any questions on that. And the next slide, last slide. In summary, we're not looking for any money. We're looking to honor the members of the 1st Special Service Force for their service to Canada and to continue the great tradition of the town of Amherstburg in supporting the remembrance of our great veterans. Thank you very much.
Well, I'd like to start just to, you know, thank every, you know, the group, thank the vets for, you know, appreciation, okay, for, you know, the service that you provided to our country, and as well as, you know, the dedication that you are, you know, providing all of the heroes of the past. With that, I'll ask if there's any questions from any councillors. Councillor Crowe?
The only question I have, and it wasn't clear, are there going to be plaques like this in the other towns in Essex? Is there going to be one in Windsor, one in Kingsville, one in Leamington? Or
no, sir. No, sir. This is actually, we're one of the first municipalities to do this type of a recognition for the 1st Special Service Force. Part of that was because of the fact that Ralph Mayville is a resident, or is soon to be, again, a resident of Amherstburg. He's born and raised in Amherstburg, and that was why we thought that this would be a proper location for it.
And we couldn't agree more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Can I get a motion? Council approved.
I'll move that we proceed and have the plaque in the park.
Is that to receive the presentation as well as...
And to direct staff to continue to make arrangements to have the plaque located in the park.
Okay, thank you. Is there a seconder on that? Councilor MacArthur? Any other questions? All in favor? And that carries. Thank you again. Okay, we'll move on to 6.2 now. Another delegation to speak on behalf of the off-road vehicle. And we have Kevin Smith and Sean Ellenberg here.
Hi, good evening. My name is Kevin Schmidt. I'm here to represent the Essex County ATV Club. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. Unfortunately, we're not in support of administration's recommendation on this item. We've reviewed the report submitted to council, and we have some comments regarding the concerns pointed out in the report. The report itself comes across as very one-sided. It only points out the negatives. Our expectation was the report would come back and it would see both the pros and the cons of adapting the bylaw. Many of the findings in the report seem to be based on perception versus reality. We don't understand why we didn't reach out to municipalities across Ontario that have similar bylaws to understand the actual impacts on road maintenance or how many claims they've had against insurance companies as a result of adopting the bylaw. Last time we were in front of council, it was decided that both a public meeting and a survey would be done to educate the public and gauge their interest in the proposed bylaw. The report only mentions that a meeting took place and 80 people attended. It makes no mention of anything that was discussed at the meeting, nor the fact that everyone in attendance was in support of the proposed bylaw. There's not a single person at the meeting that spoke in opposition. If you have the survey results with you, 80% of the people are in favor of the bylaw. Those results speak for themselves. The report makes comments of the fact that neither the county nor other local municipalities have bylaws in place to allow road access. As we've expressed to you in the past, the Essex County ATV Club is working on expanding our riding network across the entire county and have approached the town of Amherstburg first, as we have properties in this community, so we thought it made sense. We're looking for Amherstburg to be a leader here. We have to start somewhere, right? A main sticking point seems to be the issue of liability and potential increased insurance costs. In order to operate an ATV off of your private property, you have to have liability insurance on it, just like any other vehicle that you own and drive on anywhere else off your property. So it's no different than any other vehicle. The cost of signage was also pointed out as an issue because it's not budgeted for. we're part of a bigger network, I explained this before, we're part of the OFA TV, which is part of 17 clubs across Ontario. We've reached out to those clubs, and each of those clubs has some type of road access in one way, shape, or form. And absolutely no municipality that we're aware of has any road signs put up at all. They just simply don't do it. Even the Chatham-Kent didn't do it. They passed a bylaw a couple of years ago. They didn't do it. It's really the rider's responsibility to know the routes and make sure you follow those routes. And I think in today's world, it's understood that you're going to be sharing those roads with everything, from pedestrians, cyclists, e-bikes, tractors. I think it's just a known fact. If you're going to be on the road, you're going to be sharing that road with somebody. So we heard through the grapevine that IRCA was not supporting our initiatives. So I reached out and I went and sat down and had a conversation with them to find out what the issues were and what his concerns were. It was actually their understanding that we were looking to travel into their sensitive areas, so into like, you know, the Hillman Marsh or conservation areas or things like that, or the Greenway, for example. And you know, once I explained that we have none of those intentions, they actually have no issues. His other thought was, and I think they expressed in their letter, they felt the fact that gaining road access would encourage more people to trespass on their properties. Our feeling is that if you give people a legal place to ride, they're less likely to travel and, or trespass on both IRCA properties and other people's properties, for that matter. And there were some farmers at the meeting that actually supported that view as well. So with IRCA, we kind of agreed to disagree, and we moved on from there. So. There were two issues in the report raised by the police department, one being that they don't have access to ATVs to enforce the bylaw. We fail to understand the need to enforce a bylaw on the road with an ATV. You're going to be on the road, so you do that by a car. It's also our understanding that the Windsor Police Department has access to 4 ATVs. The other concern was regarding increased risk of collisions in urban areas. We're not asking for access to urban areas. We just want to be on rural roads. So second delegation tonight, typically people are out coming to municipalities and looking for money to support their initiative. You know, you can look no further than the announcement that was made this week for additional funding being put towards the Seawatch Trail system. In our case, we're totally self-sufficient. We maintain our own trail network with a system of volunteers. We have our own insurance. We're simply asking for a bylaw to allow us to get from point A to point B. The bottom line is, if I want to go from point A to point B, I can take my car, my motorcycle, my tractor, my e-bike, my scooter, my dirt bike, or my snowmobile. I just can't take my ATV. So we fail to understand why that is. So we'd be more than happy to sit down with the administration, come up with a bylaw that makes sense for everyone involved. We're happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. I have to just go back a bit. I don't know if the group before, Tim Russo, if they wanted to leave, I don't know if you didn't have to stick around. I think if you wanted to leave, I would give you the opportunity. I'm sorry I didn't ask earlier. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Thank you. Yes, go ahead. You can go through the boardroom or through the front.
Thank you very much.
Oh, careful. Okay, are there any questions from the council? Nobody has any questions? Oh, sorry, Councilor Reynolds.
Just one question is, the county doesn't seem to support the plan. How would you address the issue when you get to crossing county roads, like basically you'd be boxed in?
Yeah, so actually in the report it points out that the county said that, you know, they envision us allowing us access for short periods of distance where it needs to connect trails, right? Because as you're pointing out, the roads don't line up. So legally you can cross a road and you go 90 degrees straight across it. Unfortunately, the roads won't line up. So we'll have to use the county roads in pieces. But again, we got to start somewhere. So if I started with the county, they would say, what's the point? You don't know the municipal roads, right? So we got to start somewhere.
Councilor Courtney?
Thank you. Another contentious issue. There's been a few in this town. So I've got concerns. You guys are doing a great job. I know you talked about your club and you educate and you teach responsibility and things like that. By opening up a bylaw and allowing this, it's not just going to be your members that are going to be allowed to use the road.
there's that option, but.
Well, okay, so.
You probably get a lot more backlash that way, but yeah.
Okay, so they are recreational vehicles, they're off-road vehicles, the county has reservations, and I agree, it's gotta. What trail systems do we have in place right now that you're speaking of? Is this manicured and taken care of by your group? Is it private property and?
Yeah, so we have two land use agreements, one on Walker, one on Howard, so they're two pieces of private property that we use.
Okay, and.
And we're in discussions with several more across the county.
Okay, so it's private property, your members right now, how are they getting their ATVs through that site?
Trailering.
Trailering it right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're making do with what your passions are as a group, ATV club, correct? In theory, you've got an ATV, usually you have a trailer with it, you unfortunately gotta hook it up to the back of the truck or a vehicle and get it there.
Sure.
Can we say that?
Sure.
Okay, my concerns are, and again, like there's some IRCA, I'm a member of IRCA.
Okay.
It's not your club per se, that might be a concern. Responsible driving, by opening this up, it's free to anyone in the town, yes, there's gonna be criteria to be met. We don't have the infrastructure in place right now to safely get you guys to where you gotta go, but that's if people choose to go to your place. What this opens it up, they can drive wherever they want, they're gonna treat them as vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and I don't think ATVs are vehicles. There's e-bike problems in the city of Windsor. There's a lot of people that don't know, do they ride on the sidewalks, do they ride on the side of the road, do they, you know, there's so many motor vehicle accidents as a result of these not normal vehicles, meaning motorcycle or a four-wheeled vehicle or whatever the case may be. So with that being said, my concern is that if we open it up, and again, I don't wanna just say the rule breakers are ruining it for everybody else, but the realistic part is trespassing's probably still gonna happen. It's gonna give a little more freedom to the ones that aren't educated, they're probably not gonna go alongside the shoulder of the road, or when they get to a farmer's field and they go, I can get across here a little quicker. It's illegal right now, and it's noticeable right now. If you're saying it would curb possibly and diminish the amount of trespassing.
I mean, people do it because they're hiding, right? If I want to get from point A to point B, I'm gonna cut through fields and I'm gonna go through illegal areas because I'm hiding. So if you give them a legal passage, they'll take that from path of least resistance, right?
Okay, and I agree, but I do think that there's gonna be, for every good person that's gonna follow the rules and go directly to your club, this isn't just driving into town, you know, like this would open it up to use our roadways and pretty well drive them around downtown core, maybe, possibly, I mean, we can set parameters on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that, but yeah, sure, because
there
are some in some towns, for sure.
Right, and I don't think that really applies for around here. We're pretty busy in this area, we've got a lot of residential, and it's safety, safety, safety.
Yeah.
County doesn't wanna touch it, the grading of the shoulders, let's face it, loose gravel is dangerous.
Sure.
We're not, you know what I mean? And then right-of-ways, cars trying to pass around four-wheel, you know, ATVs. I think I'm gonna have to support what the concerns of what administration's tabled today. I'll listen to everybody else, because I am very open-minded, and I want our town to move forward.
I guess I just failed to see the difference between an ATV and, we'll use a snowmobile, for example. So a snowmobile can do everything we're asking for today, so what's the difference? Why are ATVs segregated? Why is it one thing, right? So a scooter, an e-bike, I can take any of those things, except an ATV. So why an ATV?
Good point. I'll listen to my peers.
And before we continue, I just want to make for council benefit, 6.2 and 11.1 will be joined together. Councilor McArthur.
Thank you. I just want to say, first of all, I've sort of been impressed with you guys and your organization, the way you've gone about this. You know, prior to my taking my seat, I was there in the chamber. You guys made a great little pitch here. I was at that meeting. You know, we had a meeting on marijuana, four people showed up, you know, maybe five.
Yeah.
We had a meeting with you guys, and it was nothing but ball caps and camo, and it was full, and I was very impressed with your advocacy.
I'm a little disappointed with the turnout here tonight.
Okay, but it was, but the meeting, honestly, and I thought you guys make it. Okay, I think you guys make a great case and a passionate case. One question I would have, you know, you talk about tourism, you know, how the impact for tourism, and I think it's there long term, potentially. What about short term, though? Because, you know, the way it stands now, if you can't go on county roads, and, you know, downtown, I think it's a whole other, when I'm saying, I'm thinking concession roads,
yeah.
You know, it might be palatable. Other than sort of the Ford Fun Center on Texas Road, you know, you guys can't gas up anywhere, you can't go anywhere, I don't think, for, you know, for a bite to eat. So how short-term could it potentially, would it just draw people here? How could it benefit tourism?
Well, I think that's the question that needs to be answered. Where can we go? I don't know, right? I don't know what makes sense. I don't know where the boundaries are, where we stop, where we start out of that. I think that has to be discovered. But, you know, I'll use the example of Chatham Kent. I've been on two of their rides in Chatham Kent. And it's just, I think it was 50 or 60 of us, or 30 maybe, but maybe it wasn't that many. But anyway, we drive around and we went to a restaurant to eat. And I would argue that place was pretty happy we all showed up. And they were just on a county road. I think we were in Glenn. And the gas station was certainly, see, I'm sure it was $4 at a time, but they were happy that 60 people times $4 all filled up. And it's interesting. I mean, the town, you know, we weren't allowed downtown. You're not allowed on the downtown in Chatham, but they had something going on. They actually wanted us to be part of a parade as we were doing it, kind of thing. So they shut down the road for us to go through. You know, so they kind of worked with it. So I don't know where it's going to end up. And really, it is those establishments that are on the outskirts that probably make the most sense. To be honest, I'm hopeful that once this passes tonight, that your businesses in town step forward and say, hey, we want them to come to our establishment, let them down our road. You know, but I can't answer that. I don't know where that's going to end up.
And just to follow up, I know you mentioned the Chatham ATV Club. They do a lot of sort of charity runs and. And things like that. Is that something that you guys got a little momentum behind that you'd like to embrace in this town as well?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so they do, I don't know what their ongoing thing is, but last year they did two different rides. So Chatham's a little bit different. They don't have any properties at all. It's simply road access. So that's what they do, right? They kind of do poker runs and things like that, and they raise money for charity. And,
And I will make a comment. Your the land you lease is just down the road from me, and I never see any problems there. So at least I am from my perspective. I know it's a rural area, but I commend you guys for that. So.
Yeah, thank you. And I think if you drove through Chatham in the last 2 years, it's not like you've seen 100 ATVs all around you everywhere you go either, right? I mean, the bylaws are there, but it's not like there's going to be ATVs all over the roads all the time. We don't want to be on the roads, right? The roads aren't good for our tires and. That's not the place I want to be. I don't want to be in traffic. I don't want to be in rural areas. It's not fun. I don't want to be there. It's a necessity, right? It's from point A to point B.
Any other questions? Councilor Pearl?
It's the staff report, just getting back to Chatham Kent. I do have some questions of staff when finished. The staff report says, Council of the Chatham Kent passed the bylaw back on March 7, 2016, permitting ORVs on certain roads for a one-year trial. The council had also requested a report on ORV incidents from the Chatham Kent Police Service at the completion of the trial period. Police Chief from Chatham Kent reported there was a 43% increase in calls during the trial period related to ORVs. The majority of the complaints received from the area residents related to property damage and noise caused by the ORVs. What you were saying sounded very nice about going in the parade, but did that happen in Chatham?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. I don't know in Chatham Kent. Actually, this actual point was brought up at the public meeting that we had as well. I think it was kind of addressed there. There was somebody there from Chatham. Unfortunately, I don't know who he was. And I think that I don't want to say all. Most of those complaints are the same person. So it's one person that had a lot of the police calls.
Yeah.
That's what I understand. I don't know. I'm not from Chatham. I didn't call Chatham. I didn't talk to Chatham. That's just what he said. I don't know.
Well, I will ask a question for the staff. I just wanted your input on that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilor Pruitt, did you want to ask?
Yes, mm-hmm. If I could ask, first of all, is there any other, these are just the only deputants.
Sorry?
These were the two deputants?
Yes.
Okay. Questions of staff then on the report. The Chatham Kent Police, I just asked the question, you obviously heard it. What was the source of your information?
Through you, Deputy Mayor Moloch. So the information I received was a report of the police service to the Chatham Kent Police Services Board dated February 10th, and that was in response to Chatham Kent had done a trial bylaw for a year. Then they were reviewing that trial period to go permanent with their bylaw.
second question relates to your summary. We could just go through them. The report's long, but I just want to hear it in your own words. It says, administration recommends that ORV use on town roadways not be permitted due to safety concerns. That's the first. Just outline what safety concerns you think. Is it that people get hurt on these? Because people get hurt on motorbikes and cars, on snowmobiles too. So I just want to hear what safety concerns this is and how it's different.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. So I'm echoing the concerns of our insurer, VFL Canada. Obviously, collisions would be the number one concern. I know that Chatham-Kent 2015 had 7 involved collisions, 2016 had 5. The town of Amherstburg, 2017, we've had 1, and they're not permitted on the roadways at that time. In 2019, we've had 1 as well. So that is a concern in administration.
Okay, so without even them being allowed, you're still getting in accidents. Okay. The second one says risk and potential liability associated with use. I guess that's an insurance item as well. Okay, let's skip the insurance companies and go to minimize negative impacts for the community. What kind of, I mean, I have had some emails and some phone calls saying, complaining about the noise, and that some people are running the machines at 2 and 3 in the morning doing wheelies on the street. That I'm sure it's not people in this club, but there are people doing it. Is that the kind of complaints we've been getting?
Yes, so in Chatham-Kent, they saw a 43% increase in calls related to ATVs. The majority were related to property damage and noise complaints by area residents. So then I refer to the stats provided by our police. When the calls for service were examined, most were nuisance type calls where ORVs were being driven near residential properties resulting in noise, safety, or trespass violations. Also failed to stop. So if Chatham-Kent saw the concerns that we echoed, noise complaints, property damage, and trespassing.
And the last one you have is concern for environmentally sensitive areas. I did get an email from Marilyn Morrison, who is council's appointee, along with Councillor Courtney, to the IRCA board, and she requested that we not approve it. Is this IRCA's official position? And what kind of sensitive areas do you think they'll get into? Hope that's not mine.
The letter received from IRCA was dated March 6th. I had spoken to Kevin Money from IRCA, who provided the letter from the board. So they do have concerns. The trail that is established by the Estes County ATV Club, our greenway, runs parallel to it. So I know when we first heard the delegation in September, there were concerns raised by IRCA because there was damage to the access areas of our trail system. There's also other environmental sensitive areas that were summarized in the report that could be accessed if it were open up to allowing ATVs on the roads.
Thank you. Those will be my questions.
Deputy Mayor, may I add something there?
Yes, go ahead.
To Ms. Ruby's fulsome answers, but I wanted to raise one other issue. Shoulders of the roadway are not intended to be ridden on. So one of the things that we also looked at was that there's going to be an additional obligation for us to upkeep them. Shoulder of the roadway is really for a refuge or vehicle when they leave the roadway temporarily or there's a hazard condition. So when you introduce a vehicle that's now going to ride on the shoulder frequently, that increases our own maintenance demand to make sure that when a refuge vehicle needs that shoulder, that it's going to have some stability to allow for what the shoulder is initially intended for, not to be ridden on purposely, if I may.
And I have a question for administration, and it might be the Mr. DeLuca to answer the question. Just out of curiosity, we talk about concerns of safety on the road. How many bicycle accidents did we have in 2018? Would you even know?
Well,
that are related to road bike accidents.
Oh, I do not have that information. That would have to come from the prior Amherstburg Police Service. I'd have to research it through their full database, but I don't have any of that information. Sorry.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councilor Courtney.
I don't want to shoot it dead in the water. I believe that there is maybe potential in the future. I just don't think right now the infrastructure is in place. I don't think we know enough about it. I know you mentioned about being a pioneer and taking the bull by horns and let's be the leaders of this area and kind of do this, but this is obviously going to be a financial impact to the town. Liability, possibly. I mean, whether the ATV is involved with an accident or not. The county roads, you just admitted that they'll have to jiggy jaunt across, and we don't have approval for that right now, so even still.
It's in your report, actually. If you look in your report, the county said they'd be willing to support it.
So, if, I guess moving forward, I guess we need more information, and just to kind of sit back, another local, like Chatham-Kent's pretty vast, Wallaceburg and all of that external rural area, we're kind of populated down here, and our concessions are all being utilized. GPS, we've talked about this too, why our roads are diminishing on some of these county roads. People are just going the quickest route, so now those concessions are being utilized way more than they used to be back in the old days, where people would take Pike Road or 18 Highway and sort of County Road 20, and all the, you know, Elma all the way out. So they would stick to the main arteries. Now there's a lot of cars going up and down. I just right now, I think I have to take what administration and some of these, you know, ACFA and IRCA and their concerns, and just, I guess, absorb this. This is good learning information. I will educate myself more on it as well. And I think we just got to sit status quo and receive their recommendation tonight, and we'll.
So what do you recommend we do? You said you needed more education, you needed to learn more. What do you recommend we do?
Well, plus it's the fact of the matter is, do we want to be spearheading this and being the leaders for the possibility of more liability and more expense? But we're not in a financial state right now to, if the upkeep on the roads and the shoulders are going to become, now we have to maintain them more, add more gravel, regrade them more often because vehicles, ATVs are tearing them up or chewing them up. And like I said, the fact of the matter is that you guys are running a great ATV club, and it's awesome, and I'm all for recreational sport. I live on a lake, jet skis. I do love recreational sports. It's just your members are educated, but there's going to be a lot of others that aren't going to be as educated. And I don't want to persecute or penalize you, but the realistic part is if we do open this up, it's open to everybody. And for the rule breakers and for all of those things, and that's where the injuries do happen, is the uneducated. And your group, and that's why I kind of asked the question, is your members have trailers. You guys are surviving right now with your passion, which is ATVing on approved properties, and you take care of all of that stuff. And so, yeah, I'm going to support what administration has to, what they're recommending tonight.
Councilor Brewer.
I can still ask the question. I just want to ask.
Yes, go ahead.
I acknowledge that this club is trying their best. I mean, everybody in the room knows they're trying their best. Everybody in the room knows they probably are not the rule breakers out there running places around 2 o'clock in the morning and taking off across farmers' fields. Probably not them. But is there some way that administration can, if we agree with your report and not do anything tonight, is there some way you can continue to work with them so down the road we can assuage some of these fears? We can look at maybe a trial place, a little portion of Amherstburg where the residents might approve it or might not be opposed to it, and give it a shot for that. I'm just trying to see if there's some way we can go down that route in the future. But tonight, I agree with Councilor Courtney. Can we do that? Is it possible if we support the recommendation tonight that maybe in a year or so we can get another report and see if there's a limited place we can hold a trial?
Through you, Deputy Mayor Walsh, I feel that we can absolutely do that. I think one of the major challenges we have is working with the county. And it's not necessarily a challenge, but we have to both be on board with the recommendation of that sort, because we are highly made up of county roads in the town of Amherstburg. The trail systems that are established with the club right now are both accessed with County Road 9.
Okay, Counsel MacArthur, and then Counsel Small.
Yeah, I mean, I agree there needs to be caution. I'd like to give these guys a chance. I'd like to give their club a chance. You know, and I don't know if we have to wait. If we want to set up a trial, we could ask administration tonight to set the parameters, you know, for a trial. County roads, that's another issue. That's not our fight. I don't want to see them downtown. I don't want to see them in protected areas either. And I think this report, you know, it was a fantastic job from an administrator's perspective. It's their job to look out for what the liability is, what the risks are, this and that. You know, that's what they do. And the report, you know, it hits all those buttons, I think. But it's also predicated on people doing things wrong, right? That people are going to go into these restricted areas, that they're going to go on the Iroquois trails. And like I said, I've been impressed with the way this group has approached us. They've been patient and respectful of the process. You know, and given that, I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt. Set up a trial. They police themselves. And if there's, you know, can be a short trial, parameters, you know, not at night, you know, in a half an hour after dusk or before sunrise. Set some parameters, try it out, you know, in on concession roads, and see what happens. It could be the beginning of something great, or, you know, that could potentially attract tourists here, certainly heighten, you know, recreation, and it could fall flat on its face. But I think that they deserve the benefit of the doubt to try it out in rural areas. So that's kind of where I am right now, and I don't know if we need to wait, you know, another year, another 6 months, if we want to set up the trial period, let's get that in motion tonight.
Councilor Small?
Well, I would have to agree with Councilor MacArthur. I think if we're going to do anything, why wait? I say we try it, see what happens. They are a great organization and a great group, and was able to answer all my questions today when I called, so thank you very much for that. And I think as Councilor MacArthur pointed out, it might be great to increase tourism and potentially help those businesses where the ATVs previously couldn't go to be able to do that. So I would say if we're going to do it now. Why wait?
Any other comments? Councilor Courtney.
This just isn't going to be a bylaw for your ATV members. Again, this is going to be open up to everybody. This is the concern.
So we had that conversation with the mayor, actually. He suggested maybe we want to open it up to just our members. We're happy to take people's money if they want to be members of our club. We'll take it. And if you want to just be members, we can do that. But I think you'll get a big backlash for that.
It's right? A public road that is paid by taxpayers. It's difficult to draw a line there. For our club, you have to be a member to be on the property that we control. But as far as a public roadway, there's a fine line.
And that's what I'm going towards here. This is a bigger, you're not the concern. Your group's not the concern. You guys are responsible riders, you're educated, and you care. You care. And you're passionate about that. But there is a lot that I'm going to assume, and I know a lot have ATVs that aren't a member of your group just because, for whatever reason, and they're trespassing, or they might have a farmer friend that allows them to ride the perimeter with, you know, their kids' ATV along the laneways and things like that. So it's, if it was just limited to responsible drivers, which we can't enforce, and may I ask how big is your membership?
It's around 100.
We maintain between 80 and 100 members annually.
Okay, and how geographically, who's the farthest that would want to ride his ATV or her ATV to your?
Bell River. We have members all over Essex County and some beyond.
No, I just mean the ones that potentially will utilize, because the big thing is getting to and from without having to hook up a trailer.
It's step one. Right?
Step one, no, I understand.
We're talking to Lakeshore right now, too.
Yeah.
Right, so it's in phases.
Okay. So, that's what I mean.
I live in Bell River.
Okay.
I want to leave my driveway and get out here. When will I be able to do that?
Well, yeah,
Probably a couple of hurdles between.
Right? I think.
Yeah.
I understand where you're going with that. Started somewhere,
yeah.
And I do understand.
Right?
Thank you. Good presentation, too. Thank you.
Councilor Renault.
Just a question. Where location of your club at again?
We have one at 9286 Walker Road, McGregor, and the other one, not sure the exact address, but it is behind it on Howard.
So those, they basically abut county roads?
Yes, sir. So there was a bylaw in place up until 2 years ago that basically had us access through properties, I don't understand, so I'm not from Amherstburg, but got us from one property to another. And when we first came to council like a few months ago, it was actually, maybe we misrepresented that, but we were actually asking to get that bylaw back as well as get access on the roads. So I don't know what happened. It seems that fell apart, likely our miscommunication. There is a bylaw on your books that has lapsed.
That would probably be one of my biggest concerns, just to get to your club or to get to your location. They would be running down a county road where the county doesn't support.
And I think, yeah, and I think it's in your report. I don't know why everyone keeps saying it. So in your report, it says the county will support short periods of county roads. They don't see us running down Walker Road, and I don't want to run down Walker Road. But they say in there that they will support us having a small chunk of Walker Road, for example, if we needed it to complete a path.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement with the other councils here. So I don't think it's your group that we have to worry about. It's just when you open the door to everybody, it's the non-conforming folks that we have to deal with.
Well, I think those will exist with everything, right? I mean, we can't control that.
If I may say something. For our club going after the ATV bylaw is yes, a benefit to the club members, but we aren't only doing it for the club members. We're doing it for the residents of Amherstburg that have ATVs to allow them. You're absolutely right of the people that are trespassing. They're not our members. But if the club, the local club, does something good for the community to get these people legal access to the road, they may become our members, they may not. But they still have to abide by the rules. And with more exposure, more promoting of education, safety, and the rules, it would never going to eliminate, but reduce the wrongdoers.
Ms. Robley, got something to say? To comment?
I just want to clarify. So the County of Essex, I had contacted their administration, and they indicated this time that the county does not intend to allow ORVs on any of the county roads. Their best management practice manual does state where it can be demonstrated that a specific section of municipal road is required to complete an established trail system, the County of Essex may consider limited access to that section on a trial basis, subject to satisfactory resolution of all liability, safety, and nuisance concerns, all which was raised in the administrative report.
Thank you. And Councilor Pearl?
Oh, I just wanted to make a motion if I could, because we're not speaking to a motion at this point.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would like to move the staff recommendations 1 and 2 and include a third motion, which is that staff continue to meet with the club, the county, IRCA, police, to see if a trial area can be found. There's a second, or I'll explain why I think this is the appropriate thing to do and not to just proceed with the
team.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And for clarification, did you say trial area or trial period?
No, a trial area.
Trial area.
I'll second.
Okay, second by
Council. Okay, and if I could speak to the third one, I think the first two are self-evident, this is the staff recommendation. The third one, I understand the considerable efforts that this club has gone to. It's 80 to 100 members, and I'm sure those are the 80 to 100 members who all supported the application, you know, with the input that we got. But staff also made a very strong point that they can meet with the club, but it's the county is a bit of a sticking point. IRCA is not happy that some of this may lead into, some of the travels may lead into endangered areas. The police do not have statistics so far in Amherstburg, and we're relying on them from another town, and we don't know what area might be used. I certainly don't want to open up all of Amherstburg. We can't open up all of Amherstburg. We can't have the downtown core. We can't have many areas. I know if you went over to Boblo Island and tried to drive around there, you'd get pretty short shrift, even though it's some farmland in the middle. So we need to know what area is being looked at, then we need to study it, and we need to see what happens. And if it all works out, then maybe we proceed. But just to say, let's give it a shot, I think is the wrong thing. I think we have to do this in stages. The first stage tonight is to say no. The second stage is to have staff work with everyone to see if there is a possibility. And the third stage is, if there is a possibility, is to study it and see whether it can be made permanent or expanded, or if it doesn't work out, just do away with it altogether. And that would be the substance of my motion.
And thank you. And further to that, I think it was Ken that you indicated to me that Chatham does have an outline as to where and where you cannot travel.
Yeah, you go to the website, on the town website, the map.
Yeah, so it's clearly identified, okay, which falls along with your motion. Okay, any other questions? Yes, Councilor Burnham.
Yeah, just on that, I just want to make sure that I understand it, and it's going in the right direction, is what would we be asking staff to do? I mean, I don't want to, you know, consult the thing to death, but would we be asking them to come back with the, after consulting with the club and police, to come back with an area whereby we can do a pilot project? Because you said test, so that implies, mm-hmm. let's just take one step and then the next, and I'm okay going in phases, so long as we end up with all things being equal, end up with a test area.
Yes, it's to consult, but the important thing is to consult with the club and with the police, but also with the county, to make sure that we're in tune with the county roads and how they're to be used, and with IRCA to make sure that any place that we outline is not close to environmentally sensitive areas, because the letter or the email that I got from Marilyn Morrison was really, really strong, saying that we ought not to do this, and how when she was on the board in her previous municipality, where she was the mayor, I think it was Halton Hills, they had a similar request, and that they turned it down, and that she thought it was for the best. And so I want to make sure that everybody comes together. We can't just satisfy a group of 80 people and put the people who believe in the environment, the people who want peace and quiet, the farmers who want their fields looked after, all of those things at risk. It all has to come together. I think staff can do a remarkable job making all of those come together, if they can, and putting forth something. If it takes 6 months or a year, it takes 6 months or a year. And if they come up and say you can go between county roads 5 and 7, and I'm just making these up, in this area, then that's it. Let's give it a shot. And if they say you can't find a place, then that's the way it is too.
Okay, on the motion, do we want it to have it read back, or is everybody included?
But are they going in, when they do this report, are they going in completely neutral, or are they going in with an eye to trying to make this happen? Because they've already gone in neutral, and they've come back and said no.
Well, I asked the question. I thought there was quite an acceptance of the two members of staff who spoke to look at this. If council directs it back to them, they're going to have to look at whether we can afford the shoulders in some of the places that might be put in. It might come back in next year's budget too. We may have to, if we want this, come up with some money. Maybe we can use some of the money the province gave us today. I don't know. But that's what has to happen. It should not happen on the fly. We should not say yes tonight. We should make staff do the best job they can and advise us.
And I guess in satisfying the question or the motion, is your motion that the administration come back with a plan of how it can be done, as opposed to?
First of all, if it can be done,
yeah.
And then how it can be done,
okay.
And where the trial period, if all of that works out, where the trial area might be. And then I'd be more than happy if all of those things are put in place to support it, because without that, I can't. I think staff's right. Without those guarantees, we cannot put the farmers, the environmentalists, the citizens, citizens and everyone else at risk. And we don't have the infrastructure on the side of the road without raising taxes to do what they want.
And Mr. Galvin.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Obviously, we serve at the will of council. We will do our best to get a solution to council. The best we're going to do, though, I can tell you now, is to mitigate the concerns. We can't eliminate them. There will always be risk. We will do our best to mitigate those concerns. That can be done a number of areas, obviously shrinking the geography, having certain routes that make sense, working with the club to say what's your top priorities and how can we make this work. Then it will be dovetailing that with Antonetta's group to say, okay, how can we increase patrols? How can we do what we need? And there will be a cost associated. That we will need for that. But it will be to mitigate the liability. It cannot eliminate it. And so we do write reports neutral, I think. This was done, we don't tell IRCA what to write, we don't tell anyone what to write, we reach out and ask them their position. We reach out to other municipalities and ask them what they're doing. We got that input back. That's for council to make a decision. So those concerns that are in the report will still be in the report back. We will do our best to mitigate them and provide council with a cost if that's applicable in those mitigation factors. So council can make an informed decision, but certainly we can work with the group, any group, to come up with a solution to put in front of council for a decision. But I can tell you that without knowing exactly what I know now, these concerns will still be there. It will be up to council to decide whether there's enough mitigation and enough cost-benefit analysis in terms of what area that we come up with.
Okay, I guess on that motion, I guess there's three parts to it, 1, 2, and 3. Can I get a vote? All in favor? And opposed? Yes. 2?
Yes.
It carries.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I wonder if this point it would be in order for me to ask that a third deputy be heard.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
A third deputation be heard.
I would need a motion, a second.
All right, then I would like to move that council allows Sharon Coleman to make a deputation concerning H. Murray Smith Park. She has twice applied to speak to council and has not been allowed to do so. She is here tonight, and I would like to put the motion that she be allowed to speak.
I have a seconder, Councilor Simone. I would just caution council, though, that this matter cannot. I'm sorry, apologize. I would caution council, though, that this matter is not for public discussion this time. So if we can carry on and hear the delegation, but it's not up for public discussion.
It is not my intention to ask any questions, simply
okay.
To hear the deputy that she's asked twice to
okay.
Hear what she has to say and thank her.
Okay. So we have a second. Okay, all in favor? That carries. And where's she? Okay.
Deputy Mayor and Amherstburg Council, thank you for allowing me to appear before you this evening to discuss our much beloved and one of our most used parks in the town of Amherstburg, the H. Murray Smith Centennial Park. In 1933, our town leaders had the foresight and courage to purchase the former Bell Farm, and the property became the site of this special parkland. According to the park's master plan, the H. Murray Smith Centennial Park is the third most used municipal parkland out of the 26 parks within the town of Amherstburg. The park's master plan was approved by Amherstburg Town Council and the Parks and Rec Committee in 2018 after insisting that the remaining 12 acres that Greater Essex County District School Board for our new high school was put back into the park's inventory. These remaining 12 acres are my reasons for to appear before you this evening. On May the 9th, 1977, the town of Amherstburg passed bylaw 1460 to rename Centennial Park to the H. Murray Smith Centennial Park to perpetuate the recognition due to our former mayor of Amherstburg for his great contributions to the quality of life in our community. According to bylaw 1460, Mayor Smith was honored for the countless donations of his company for equipment and materials to our municipality for snow removal, road construction, park development, and his generosity to community organizations such as the AAM Ambulance Squad, which I was a former member, the Gibson Gallery, and the Amherstburg Community Band, without receiving publicity or public recognition. Further to that, this bylaw confirms that Mayor Smith was a guiding force in the completion of the sanitary sewage and treatment plant system, the water treatment plant, the construction of the community center arena, the development of Centennial Park, construction of the town hall, storm sewer installation, and road reconstruction, etc. Without a doubt, Mayor Smith was one of our most outstanding, productive, and respected mayors, and is deserving of his perpetual naming rights according to this bylaw. And I apologize for me stumbling. I discovered today that I need reading glasses. I am requesting that you take all the necessary steps to ensure the ratepayers of Amherstburg to prohibit the sale of H. Murray Smith Centennial Park for the following reasons. I'm almost done. It is the third busiest park out of 26 parks in the town of Amherstburg, not including the Navy Yard Park, but that's a federal park. The park is within a central, safe walking distance of thousands of residents, including children who depend on this park for outdoor recreational activities. This park is within walking distance of three schools and abuts the property of our new proposed high school. I believe the possible sale and development of this property could undermine the viability and success of our new public high school. I believe it is unsafe and unreasonable to expect our children, grandchildren, and students to walk along one of the busiest roads, the Pike Road, to use parkland at the Libro Center. The remaining 12 acres of this park has never been declared surplus, and our taxpayers have never been consulted regarding any proposed sale. This park was developed and paid for by the taxpayers of Amherstburg, the staff, students, and parents of General Amherst High School, the Lions Club, the Kinsman Club, and the Rotary Clubs. H. Murray Smith Centennial Park is an important component of our community, recognizing the outstanding contributions of Mayor Smith. For these reasons, I am requesting you, the elected leaders of our community, to have the same courage and foresight of your predecessors and pass a motion tonight to prevent the sale, any future sale, of the H. Murray Smith Centennial Park. And thank you for your consideration. And I understand that it's not up for public discussion, but I do feel deeply in my heart that there's rumors out there that it is looking at being sold. And I would really like you guys to take a stand so that we as taxpayers and residents of Amherstburg don't have to go to bed tonight worried about whether or not that park is going to be sold. And thank you so much.
Thank you. I will turn the table over to Mr. Michelli here.
Thank you, Your Acting Worship, Deputy Mayor Melosh. I think there's been a lot of misinformation as it comes around Centennial Park that has been shared in this community. I think we need to clear the air when it comes to Centennial Park.
Speak up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Councilor Pruitt, can you shut that mic off?
All right. So let us be very clear on how this got brought forward, offering Centennial Park for redevelopment, and how it was suggested to council that Centennial Park was an opportune piece of property with a higher and better use for the property. Firstly, the previous council, directly hired a consultant to assist and guide them through the park process. The park process was a pupil accommodation review that was initiated by the Greater Essex County School Board. On February 23rd, 2015, the previous council made a decision to hire Liardi Law Firm to assist the town and guide them through the park process. Through an unsolicited offer of services, the previous council waived the rules of the procedural bylaw and procured Liardi Law Services to represent the town for $12,000. Mr. Liardi attended park meetings on behalf of the town and updated council on that process. On September 14th, 2015, Mr. Liardi appeared before council and presented council his recommendations on what land Amherstburg should offer the board for the new high school. His recommendation to council was to offer all 28 acres of Centennial Park for development of the new high school. This was done at a public meeting through a presentation made by Mr. Liardi to council. He asked council that evening to support his recommendation so that the following evening he could make that presentation to the Essex County District School Board. He did receive that authorization to offer all 28 acres of that park to the board for redevelopment. Mr. Liardi came to council that evening with the trustee, Ron LeClaire, of the public school board. That evening, council approved and authorized Mr. Liardi to go and present to the public board with the offer of Centennial Park as well as the Libro Center. At that time, council believed that Mr. Liardi's findings and the park process that the redevelopment of Centennial Park and that of the Libro Center presented the town with higher value than a park. That was a decision of the previous council. So let us be clear, folks. It was discussed and presented in a public meeting. Council engaged a consultant, hired the Liardi Law Firm. That consultant was directly hired by council, the previous council, not by administration, that offered the park, the pool, the diamonds, and the skateboard park without the consideration of what was lost to the community. This has been a debate, ongoing debate in this community, that it was administration that offered that parkland up. It was not. It was an unrestricted offer to the public board to build a new high school at Centennial Park because the town felt it would risk losing the new high school if that was not offered. So let's make the public record clear. The entire 28 acres of parkland was offered in a public meeting to the board for redevelopment. What has happened with the remaining 12 acres, as the deputy mayor has suggested, that has been the topic of an in-camera meeting. We're not at liberty to discuss that at present. And maybe never may be at liberty to discuss it because we don't know what's going to happen. So regardless of all the innuendos that are out there, everything that's being said, we will bring Centennial Park back to a public meeting if that is required to be deemed surplus. I want to make that very clear. It was brought to the public in a public meeting. All 28 acres was offered and endorsed by council. And that was done in a public meeting. As if we were to talk about the 12 acres, if that ever happens, I can't say it will, I can't say it won't, but it will definitely be discussed in a public meeting.
Thank you.
Then it is not surplus?
Prior to disposition, ma'am, we would have to come to council, and at that point in time would be declared surplus. The 28 acres, I want to make it very clear, at the time when council took the action to offer all of Centennial Park for this high school, it was, in essence, the action taken by council at that time was that all 28 acres was surplus. What happened is, when we actually finalized the transaction, council disposed of 15.5 acres, roughly around that mark, and that's what was actually sold. So nothing's been sold of the 12 acres, regardless of the innuendos that are out there, that we've already made a deal, we've done this, we've done that. That's not true.
Then, sir, why have you taken the soil samples there?
Sorry.
And put stakes in if you haven't.
Sorry, that matter is not up for discussion at this point in time. I'm going to ask for a motion to receive the delegate.
I would move that we receive the deputation.
And do I have a second on that? Mr. Reynolds, or Sir Council Reynolds? All in favor? And that carries. Okay, we'll move on. There's nothing to report on item 7. Nothing to report on item 8. Sorry, nothing to report on item 7. Nothing to report on item 8. Nothing to report on item 9. And we'll move to item 10.1. And Antonetta? Is it? Are you 10.? Who's speaking to 10.1? Any questions on 10.1? So can I get a motion then? Councillor Simone? Councillor Reynolds? On the, all in favor? Carried. On 11.1, we've already taken care of. CEO's report, there's nothing to report. On number 13, do I have a motion? Councillor Reynolds?
I moved 13.1, 0.2, 3, 4, and 5.
Okay, and do I have a seconder? Councillor Simone? Any questions? All in favor? And that carries. Item 14, consent correspondence. Can I get a motion? Councillor Simone.
Move 14.1 to 14.3.
And do I have a seconder? Councillor Reynolds. Any questions? Councillor Prue.
Yes, the payment to the town of Amherstburg. I just wonder if you could state this for the record so that people can hear. And what can this money be spent on? Probably can go for a broad range of things. Can it go against the new water treatment? What's it called? The one we're going in debt for. For $1.6 million. I mean, this is $600,000. That's about a third of the debt. I'm just wondering whether it can go to that.
At this point, what the administration is going to do is going to have a meeting, review all of our options with regards to this funding, and bring a report back to council in short order. We were as surprised about this funding, I'm sure, as council was just last week. It's great news, but we have to come up with a plan and bring it back to council for authorization.
This came about rather quick. Even at the county level, we were quite surprised. You know, we out of nowhere received funding. So any other questions? On the board, sorry?
Not on that one. On the third one, the bottled waters, City of Quinte West resolution. I don't know whether we plan to do anything. I don't think it's a bad resolution. I can see the town hands out bottled water at meetings. I know that I won't drink it. I do prefer this, by the way, but I won't drink that. I've never had a bottle of water in my life because I believe it sends the wrong message. The town produces the safest drinking water in the world. And indeed, almost every place in Canada produces the safest drinking water in the world, and yet we buy water in a bottle and end up polluting. We should be drinking the stuff out of the tap, quite frankly. And so I agree with the resolution. And I can see Councillor Simone agrees with me. She's drinking the stuff out of the tap.
And do you have any
Well, I don't know, I mean, it was just moved and seconded, it was, the recommendation was to receive it. I would like to, if I can get a second, I'll make a motion that we support the resolution.
Let us take care of the 14-1-2 first, and then we, okay, and then we can deal with 14-3.
That's the problem with doing three things at once.
Okay, well, the clerk advises me. So on 14-1-2, can I get a vote, are all in favor?
I've got a question.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Counselor Courtney.
In regards to 14-2, it's asking to get the money for the magazine. As in years past, have we, the town has not, okay. Because I thought we just did something in regards to this a couple meetings ago, in regards to veterans or gave money, so, but that's okay, I just, if past practice was, thank you.
Yeah, we, the clerk advises that we've never covered it. Okay, on the motion, 14-1-2, all in favor? And that carries. And back to you, Counselor Peru, on 14-3.
Yes, unfortunately, my computer has turned itself off, and it'll take me a minute or two to get it going again. This is the bane of my existence, is keeping the computer going. On the bottled water, I believe the recommendation, I do not have it in front of me, but I believe the recommendation was that we receive it. And I think what we should do is, in fact, is endorse the resolution that the City of Quincy West has made, and ask for staff to indicate in what ways we can reduce our consumption of bottled water and the resulting pollution. Maybe as simple as not having bottled water in the fridge. Maybe that's how it will be.
So is that a direction, or, sorry, is there a motion in that, or a direction?
Yes, there was a motion.
A motion?
Yeah.
And in that motion, you're asking administration to investigate?
Investigate what the town can do
to
reduce the consumption or the use of bottled water on town properties. I mean, we sell it at the Libro. I know we have a bottle machine, which is a good thing, where you put your bottle up into the machine and get tap water out of it, which is great. But I wonder why we sell it in the pop machine.
Do I have a seconder on that? Counselor Small? Any questions? All in favor? On that case. Okay, thank you, Counselor Peru. And on item 15, consent of the minutes. Sorry, mic off. Consent on other minutes on item 15. Can I get a motion? Counselor Reynolds, seconded. Counselor Simone. On the vote, are there any questions? All in favor? And carries. On unfinished business, is there any unfinished business? Then we move on. Any new business? New business, so I guess we go to number 18, item, sorry, notice of motions, any notice of motions? Sorry. Oh, there are no notices, sorry, I apologize. Okay, item 19, bylaws. Can I get a motion? Counselor, sorry, Simone, seconded. Counselor Peru, any questions? All in favor? That carries. And the last one, do I get a motion to adjourn? Motion, Councilor Reynolds, Councilor McCarthy. All in favor? That carries. Meeting closed.